Hello and welcome to another episode of Gut Heroes. I'm your host, Tommy Orme, and today we're going to discuss weather and arthritis. So this is something that could have a huge impact on pain levels and inflammation. So I'm really, really excited to talk about this. We're going to do a proper deep dive. We're going to talk about what the science has to say on this. And there are some really interesting studies, one in particular that gives us some really, really useful findings. Then we'll talk a little bit about my own testing and personal experience with weather and arthritis. And this is something I've been documenting in a lot of detail now for the last 3 years. So hopefully you'll find some of that useful. And then we're going to look at some practical solutions that you can use in your own life. So if you or someone you love is struggling with arthritis, and I'm talking about both rheumatoid arthritis, osteoarthritis, all the different types, anything in the spondyloarthritis family, so conditions like ankylosing spondylitis as well, which is my particular condition. These are findings that apply across the board. So the first thing I want to do is to dive into the science on this. And there is a really great study that was published in 2019, so not long ago, and it was conducted by the Versus Arthritis Centre for Epidemiology at the University of Manchester in England. And what they did is they took a group of over 13,000 UK residents who lived with chronic pain for a study called Cloudy with a Chance of Pain, and they monitored them for 15 months. And what was quite different about this study is that they really harnessed the latest technology, i.e. smartphones. And this enabled them to do something quite different because, you know, often you have to have people coming into labs and self-reporting, and you had to trust that they were taking notes at the right time and keeping track of things. With this, they had a special smartphone app, and then the app would ask them to report how they're feeling right in the moment. And what was great about this is that the patient would log this, and because the smartphone has access to GPS and the internet, it was able to log the precise location when that person was giving that report on their phone in the moment, and it could be cross-referenced automatically with exactly what the weather conditions were. So it was able to track levels of humidity and heat and every possible metric you can imagine. So it was really detailed. It was also done then and there, which is really important, and it was a really big study. And I think when it was netted down in terms of participants who had arthritis and smartphones and who qualified, that initial figure of 13,000 comes down to 2,600. But that's still a really big study size. So these are really interesting and useful results. And that's what we're going to focus on for the first part of this analysis. So what was the first key finding? The first thing was that lower humidity was linked with decreased pain and stiffness. So what do we mean by humidity? Humidity is the amount of water vapor in the air. So higher means more. So if you think of it a little bit like a sponge, the more water the air is holding, the more humid the air feels. So I'm sure you've had this sometimes when you go somewhere hot, or maybe you live somewhere hot, it almost feels like your skin is wet with the air, the air feels heavy. And for people with arthritis, and this is a quote from this study, they found that an increase in relative humidity was associated with a higher odds of a pain event. And then it went further to say that of the four weather variables, relative humidity had the strongest association with pain. So this is a really, really important finding. And I think a lot of people may have no awareness that weather can affect arthritic conditions. A lot of people might fall into the kind of boat that I was in until relatively recently, which was that, yeah, maybe some people have reported this, but it's kind of a bit of a myth or an urban legend, and there's not really any evidence to support it and that kind of thing. And the only vague inkling I had was that maybe warm weather was good for people with arthritis, but I'd never really looked into it. So findings like this are really, really important. And on a practical level, where would you find low humidity and where would you find high humidity? So remember, we want to avoid high humidity as much as possible. So these are regions like tropical regions and rainforests. That is at the extreme end of humidity. Obviously, there's a lot of rainfall in these areas and the air is heavy with water vapor. And also some coastal areas are going to have that. So anything that's near a large body of water, an ocean, a lake or a river, This can potentially increase humidity as the evaporation adds moisture to the air. So, but that there's a bit more nuance with that with being near bodies of water, because obviously that will be dependent on weather conditions as well. The main thing is going to be areas that are typically humid all the time, so tropical regions, for example. So what's the next finding? The next one is that higher atmospheric or barometric pressure is good for arthritis, so more positive in terms of pain levels. So I'm going to use the terms atmospheric and barometric interchangeably, that they're effectively the same thing. So we'll stick with atmospheric pressure to make things simpler. And so what does the study find specifically here? So this is a quote from the study. It found that the odds of a pain event was lower with an increase in atmospheric pressure. So higher atmospheric pressure appears to be better for people with arthritis. So you want, so far, we've got low humidity and high atmospheric pressure, or higher atmospheric pressure. And what is atmospheric pressure? So the sort of technical term is that there's a greater weight of the air column directly above where you are. So that's a higher atmospheric pressure. A lower atmospheric pressure, which is what we don't want, is when there's less air pressing down on a particular area. And this is normally caused by air rising. So the warm air rises, it expands and cools, reduces its density, and that lowers the air pressure at the surface. So quite a lot of jargon there. What does that mean in simple terms? It means you want to really try as much as you can to avoid storms and unsettled weather. So at the extreme, that's things like hurricanes and typhoons and, you know, things like that, really tragic events. But in the day-to-day, that might be just when the weather's really choppy, you know, storms and lots of rain and wind and that kind of thing. This is obviously something that's quite tricky to navigate in your day-to-day, because obviously, you know, you can't always predict what the weather's going to be where you are. But there is another metric within this which you potentially do have more control over, and which is really interesting, and that is that typically you'll find higher atmospheric pressure, which again, that's what we want, at lower altitudes. So it means that low altitudes tend to be better, or appear to be better, for those of us with arthritis. And the higher up you go, the lower the atmospheric pressure gets. So if you found, for example, that when you've been climbing, or if you've been trekking, or if, you know, that's something you do in your spare time, for example, if you found that you've had a pain increase when you've been at higher altitudes, then that's could explain why. And I think that's a really interesting finding, and we'll dive into that a bit more in just a moment. So a good rule of thumb is that if you're roughly sea level, you're potentially going to be at a really good baseline for barometric pressure or atmospheric pressure. And just a final point on this, and this is quite an interesting wrinkle actually, because cold regions can sometimes be good in this regard, because colder air is generally denser, and that leads to higher surface pressure. So if you think of a kind of a cold, clear winter day, for example. And the reason I say that's interesting is because if we move on to the next point and the next finding, and that is that warmer temperatures have sometimes been associated with decreased joint pain, especially in older patients. Now, I should make clear here that actually this wasn't something that the study we've been focusing on particularly highlighted. I'll get onto that in just a second. But why is warm temperature a thing? So it probably doesn't actually need that much explanation, because I think most of us who have joint pain or inflammatory issues or arthritis will have identified, probably fairly early on, that heat is generally good for us. It generally helps with that inflammation. Most of us will have used heat packs or heat gels, and certainly anyone who's ever used sauna will know that that heat can provide a great deal of relief. So really, really positive outcome. But as I've just touched on, potentially colder temperatures could offer some benefits in some instances. And certainly in my own findings, and for many other people, I found that really cold temperatures can be effective to help manage inflammation. So I'm someone who does cold exposure repeatedly, and that is something I've just found absolutely game-changing for my arthritis. That's something that athletes, particularly elite athletes, do on a regular basis, and in particular if they're dealing with an injury. And an injury will typically manifest with extreme forms of inflammation. So I think it's just worth noting this, really, and not being locked into the idea that only warm is going to be the best for you. And going back to that study that we've been focusing on, Cloudy with a Chance of Pain, that study was interesting. That found, and this is a quote, temperature did not have a significant association with pain. And this is a big study. This is, you know, a few thousand people. There is another study from 2014, and this is one that only looked at patients with hip osteoarthritis. And that one did find a correlation between warm weather and pain relief. And then there was another study, similar size. I think this one had 222 patients, and the next one had 200 patients. That one from 2007 also found something similar. So warm weather, less inflammation. And I hope that's something that is studied and looked into more. And just off the top of my head, you know, positive outcomes in warm weather could be due to a whole range of different factors. I think something we know for sure is a massive, massive player within chronic pain and inflammation and arthritis and a whole range of conditions is stress. And I think a lot of the time, if people are enjoying warm weather, they're going to be a bit less stressed. And an increase in vitamin D levels from the sun, that's going to have beneficial outcomes. So we know that often people with arthritis have insufficient levels of vitamin D. So there might be a few variables here for people to dive into in the future, in future studies, and it will be really interesting to see what they find. And the last key finding we have is higher wind speed. So high wind speed seems to be a problem for people with arthritis. And this is an interesting one. So this was flagged up as a kind of separate point in this study. And I think it's useful that it has been. But if you are to look at the whole thing a bit more holistically, higher winds are something that cause fluctuations in atmospheric pressure a lot of the time. So potentially what we're doing here is talking about atmospheric pressure again. And if you remember with that, we want high atmospheric pressure. So less stormy, less choppy, less unpredictable, less windy, that kind of thing. But I think for us as people who want sort of simple, practical ways of understanding weather and how it works, wind speed is a really great way of doing that because it's really simple to understand. You know, you can literally feel it. They talk about it in the weather forecasts. And in terms of the main study we've been looking at, wind speed was associated with an increase in pain. Less wind appears to be better. So in terms of the overall findings, and they did have a nice sum up paragraph of some of their key findings, they found that, and I'm quoting here, the overall effect sizes, while statistically significant, were modest. For example, the worst combination of weather variables would increase the odds of a pain event by just over 20% compared to an average day. Nonetheless, such an increased risk may be meaningful to people living with chronic pain. So I wanted to highlight that finding because it actually feels like they're playing down the effect that weather can have. But I think a 20% difference is unbelievably meaningful to someone with chronic pain, because if your pain levels are already on the edge or bad, that extra 20% can mean that it's extraordinarily painful to get out of the chair or to get out of bed, or that walking is 20% more difficult and more painful. And that means a lot. It might mean that you don't do that thing, you don't do that activity that is actually going to relieve your pain, because the pain is just tipped over to being too much. And to be honest, if this finding had found that there was just a 10% difference on the worst combination of weather variables, I think that would have been really meaningful. And so I think this is an amazing study, and I'm so grateful to the people who did this, and I really hope they do future ones as well. But I think this makes a good segue into my own findings, because what's really exciting for me is that pretty much every single thing this study and some of the other studies have found exactly correlate with my own findings. And I should flag up here that I didn't know and hadn't researched a lot of this data prior to recording my own findings. So I've been, you know, keeping diary entries, really detailed spreadsheet for the last 3 years, and some entries prior to that as well, before I even knew I had ankylosing spondylitis. And all of my findings from that strongly back up what this larger study in particular found and what some of the smaller studies have found. And I think I want to kick off by talking about a couple of light bulb moments that I had. And these were quite recently, actually, in the last 2 years. And the first one was when my partner and I went to Namibia. We were really lucky to be able to go away there for a holiday. And it was somewhere I'd always wanted to go just because of the beauty of the country. And I'd always been told the people were really lovely. And it just always been a childhood dream to go there. And so we eventually got there. And of course, Namibia is like the ultimate desert-like conditions. And if we look at the things that the science is telling us, what you ideally want in your environment as someone with arthritis is you want very low humidity, you want high barometric pressure, so not too stormy, not too windy, and low altitude. And warm weather is probably going to be pretty good for you. So might not be the be-all and end-all, but it's definitely not going to harm. And Namibia, or vast parts of Namibia, certainly not the whole country, but vast areas of it, tick every single box on that front. So you've got the oldest desert in the world, the Namib Desert, and you've got loads and loads of areas of the country which are pretty much sea level or just above. And I found during this holiday, my pain levels were unbelievably low. So I went out there, I've been managing my condition through diet and through sort of lifestyle and movement and that kind of thing alone. I've not been using medication for the last 3 years. And I went out there and I wasn't in pain, but I found a new level of feeling good that I hadn't felt for years, for decades. And this was amazing. So I wasn't in pain when I got out there, but I felt amazing when I was there. I felt levels of kind of feeling even less stiff than I did. I hadn't realized I was feeling stiff until I got there and settled in. And suddenly I felt more flexible. I had more energy. I just felt like there was no chance in the world that I had suffered with arthritis. It's quite hard to put into words, but imagine someone had given you a kind of magical nitro boost. And sometimes it's quite hard to know what your own levels or your baseline levels of normal are, especially if you've had something for 10, 20, 30 years. Knowing what's normal can be quite difficult when the comparison is so far away. So I had this amazing feeling in Namibia, and you know, after the holiday, got back home, fell back into the kind of London baseline that I have, and I was still managing to stay pain-free, but I definitely found that the stiffness levels were creeping up. I sometimes felt like the symptoms were slightly on edge, so that possibly it could tip into flare. And I still occasionally do have some flares in the UK. They are very, very few and far between. They don't last as long and they're not as painful. But during that time away, the difference was night and day. It really, really was that noticeable. And then even more recently, I spent some time in Argentina. And Argentina is a massive country, lots of different climates, lots of different weather patterns. And for the first part, we were in Buenos Aires, and that was humid. It was very hot. I kept on getting bitten by mosquitoes. It was an amazing place, absolutely loved it. But my symptoms were not improving from London. So while I was pretty much pain-free, I had really dry skin problems. I did feel quite stiff. I was certainly flare-free, but I wasn't feeling my absolute best. But then we traveled over to Mendoza, and we had gone there because it's supposed to be a really lovely place with great food, really lovely wine. And it was all of those things. But what absolutely knocked me for six was that my symptoms cleared up almost overnight. And I felt absolutely amazing. I actually think Mendoza, I felt better than I've ever felt. We were only there for a few days, but the AS was just totally invisible. I was a completely normal person, beyond normal, and I felt great. We were doing whitewater rafting. We were going on great big long walks. And these are all things I would do in my day-to-day because I'm pain-free over 90% of the time. But this is next level. This is really just inflammation completely gone on any level beyond what I realized was possible. And that's the thing that I find really exciting about this. My own experiences have shown me that when I'm in the perfect environment, or what appears to be the perfect environment in terms of low humidity and pretty low altitude, I feel even better. And I really hope that's something that you're able to take away from this and look at and see whether there's anything within that's helpful for you as well. And going back to Mendoza, I had no idea that there are all of these things around humidity and altitude and so on that could affect conditions like arthritis. It was only afterwards, when I was doing my research, that I thought to cross-reference some of the places that I had the good fortune to travel to, and decided to research and to see whether those places ticked any of the boxes that we've just talked about, around atmospheric pressure and humidity and so on, that my jaw dropped. I was like, wow, not only do they tick the boxes, they are absolutely at the extreme end of exactly what you want if you're someone with arthritis. So Mendoza is a pretty low altitude. I think it's something like 600 meters above sea level, which is still pretty low, or 700 meters. And it's super low humidity. It is effectively a desert. It doesn't look like a desert because of the way they've irrigated it and they use the river, but it is perfect conditions. And the same goes for lots of areas of Namibia. So lots even of coastal regions. I know being near a big body of water can be difficult, but this is desert-like. So you've got very low humidity in a lot of these areas. And then especially inland and near or on the Namib Desert, you've got the perfect conditions. And then I just want to contrast this with another interesting experience I had. And this was when I visited Tanzania with my partner. And this was actually before I knew I had ankylosing spondylitis. It was before I was managing it through anything other than painkillers all the time. And we'd gone there to climb Kilimanjaro. And what was really interesting here is that Kilimanjaro was one of the most extraordinarily amazing experiences of my life, but it was also one of the worst. I felt awful. The higher we got in altitude, and Kilimanjaro is, I think, something like 5,800 meters. The higher we got, the worse I got. My blood pressure was off the charts. My heart rate, I was feeling faint. I had migraines. I had all of the things that someone without arthritis might have in terms of quite extreme altitude sickness. But it seemed to be several levels above what other people were having. And bear in mind, I was also having things in my diet which were completely the worst things I could have been having, because I didn't know that diet could affect something like this. But I was getting to the top of the mountain. I felt absolutely awful. I did make it, but I was pretty much like a zombie. And that whole period of time spent there was lurching between feeling kind of euphoric because it was beautiful and it was a challenge, but just feeling absolutely awful. And I now know in retrospect that the altitude would have had a massive effect on this. And not only the altitude, as you climb down, you go through areas of rainforest. So you've kind of got all of the things that would not be helpful for someone like me, for someone with arthritis. And I think one of the things I find really interesting about that particular finding, two things actually. One is that I spoke to someone who works in nutrition, and they had a patient who has ankylosing spondylitis, and their ankylosing spondylitis only came to the fore after climbing Kilimanjaro. So that is an insane finding. So it may well be that they had it previously or that it was sort of lying dormant, but that climb was the thing that triggered their disease activity. Mine had been around a long time before I did that climb, so that didn't apply to me, but it certainly started firing up all of those symptoms. So the correlation there is absolutely clear as far as I can see. And the second thing I wanted to say is that after we climbed Kilimanjaro, we then drove a massive distance to a place called Lake Natron, which is this absolutely stunning place where there was another thing we wanted to climb, a volcano we wanted to climb. But this area called Lake Natron is about 600 meters above sea level. So this is actually relatively low. And it was also unbelievably dry and low humidity. This place was like desert. And I remember vividly, and I've got diary entries which talk about this as well, that I felt absolutely unbelievably good here. Now I definitely would have had a benefit from having spent time at high altitude. So when you spend time at high altitude and then you go to a lower altitude, you get a bump because of the red blood cell count and the white blood cell count shifting over. But I do also think that the lack of humidity and being lower in general makes a nice correlation with everything we've talked about. So that was a fascinating finding. And something that has continued with that in London, and this is something I've been keeping in my spreadsheet, which is something I will share with you at some point, share with you how I do it. I always mark down what the weather conditions are on a specific day. So I track every day. I put my pain levels, I put what I've eaten, I put all sorts of different things, and one of them I put is weather. Was it hot? Was it raining? Was it stormy? That kind of thing. And I found that just rainy weather or a change to rainy weather in London where I live can have a really big impact on my pain levels. So one example, and I took this from a diary entry, was when I was literally lying in bed in the morning. I felt great. I had no pain levels, No sensation of stiffness, nothing like that. And then I suddenly felt it. I suddenly felt a kind of stiffness rising up my spine. I started feeling a slight sensation in my left sacroiliac joint. And I was just baffled. I was baffled because that never tends to happen to me when I'm just lying stationary. It's very rare for it to suddenly appear like that. Normally it will be when I'm standing up or sitting down or that kind of thing. I certainly get niggles when I'm lying down or I'm in pain when I'm lying down. But it was weird to have that awareness of something just changing like a switch almost. And almost like clockwork, within about 2 minutes, it started pouring with rain. And there had been no indication that this would happen. You know, I hadn't been able to check my weather app or anything like that. And the skies looked blue when I were looking at them from the bed, from the window. And I just couldn't believe it. It was absolutely mad. And this was before I'd done any of my research into arthritis and weather conditions. And it just struck me as almost supernatural the way it changed that. And I had a similar finding several months later. I was literally out on a walk. I was feeling amazing. No pain levels, no stiffness, nothing like that. And again, there was a really dramatic shift in the weather. It went from being quite still, sort of sunny-ish, and then it suddenly poured with rain. And within minutes, I was feeling the sensations. And my guess would be here that this sort of builds up as the weather's building up in the background. Obviously, what we see when the rain starts falling is going to be sort of the last step in that process. But I think it's really interesting to note that these are findings that don't just happen on the extreme end of, you know, going to the driest place in the world or whatever. It can happen in any environment. And I think that leads us really quite nicely to what you can do to try and mitigate things like weather for your pain levels, for your arthritis or your inflammation or your chronic pain, whatever it is you're struggling with. So I think the first thing is to be aware of seasonal changes. If you're noticing an increase in pain levels and there just doesn't seem to be a reason for it and you don't know what's going on, think about whether it could be the weather outside. Is spring coming? Is it changing season? Is there going to be more rain than normal? Is there a storm coming? Knowing these kind of things can just help really with the preparation. It can help knowing that you're not going mad, that there's not some strange thing happening. And it also gives you a chance to try and do what you can to put some things in place. And there are a few things you can do within your life, wherever you live, that might be able to help with that. So one of those things is an air purifier. And I've got one of these. I've got something called a HEPA filter, H-E-P-A. That's the kind of standard of filter that is used in these. You can buy these relatively inexpensively. I'm not going to recommend to pick a particular brand because they pretty much all do the same thing. The main thing you want to know is that it's a HEPA filter. And this helps remove dust and allergens and other things that you can find in the air. So this might not seem like it's particularly related to the weather elements we've talked about, but it is a very seasonal thing. And a lot of people with arthritis and certainly people with ankylosing spondylitis may struggle with things like skin conditions and sinuses and allergies and all these kind of things. Having one of these filters, especially in the room that you sleep in, will make a massive difference. Or it's certainly made a huge difference to me, and I hope it will make a difference to you. This is something I've literally recommended to 10 or 15 people, and these are people who don't even have ankylosing spondylitis, don't even have arthritis, and they have come back to me and said, thank you so much for recommending that. That has actually changed my life. So I would look into that if you can. Look into an air purifier, an air filter. And then the next one is a dehumidifier. So if you live in a humid environment, you can buy these little machines called dehumidifiers and you plug them in and they will keep the air in a particular room that you keep it in to a certain level. And what air moisture content do you want? Somewhere around 40 is roughly good. You know, if the moisture content is 50, 60, 70, certainly 70, then that's really high. So having something like a dehumidifier in your room allows you to control that immediate environment. Obviously, it's not going to help you when you're outside, but if you're working in a room for long, extended periods of time, using a device like this could really, really be helpful for your arthritis and for your pain levels. So it's really good just to bear that in mind. And the next thing is to use those small devices, which you may well have used already, like heating pads or heat gels, or even doing something like a warm bath. These are all really, really helpful things, and they're small, immediate devices that you can use. You know, you can get these great low-cost heat pads off lots of kind of online websites, and they're quite small. You plug them in and you can put them in an area on your back, and these can be really, really helpful. Warm baths are fantastic. So is cold exposure. I've talked a lot about this on Gut Heroes. And so just play around with these different things and see what works well for you. And then the next one is just clothing. If it's hot, humid weather, try and wear loose, breathable fabrics. Try and wear things that aren't too constrictive. You know, really stiff jeans probably aren't going to help you. It's going to make you feel worse. So don't have too many things in your pockets. Have something that's going to make it really easy to move around. Help your joints out. If you know the weather's going to be stormy or difficult, or if you know the weather's going to be hot or humid, particularly humid, wear easy, flexible, loose clothing that you feel really comfortable in. And then finally, be aware of the altitude. You know, maybe just be careful if you're traveling to high altitude regions. Maybe avoid traveling too high if you can. And if you do, do it slowly. You know, do it, go higher and higher over slower periods of time. That will really, really help you out. Give your body time to adjust. And if you're fortunate enough, try and spend time in hot, dry places. You know, if you're thinking about where to go on holiday, so say you live in America, maybe head down to Arizona or New Mexico. Lots of great places that are super good, super low humidity for people with arthritis. If you live in Australia, you've got you're spoiled for choice. You've got places like Alice Springs, supposed to be amazing in terms of humidity and atmospheric pressure. If you're near South America, you've got the Atacama Desert, you've got Patagonia. So many options. Europe, you've got places like Sicily, areas in the Mediterranean. So tons and tons of wonderful, beautiful places to explore with amazing people and lots of different things you can try. So I hope you found all of this helpful. I know there's a lot and lot of stuff to take in here. The key thing to remember is that you want low humidity, as low a humidity as possible. Warm weather tends to be good, but also don't panic about cold weather because the correlations aren't quite as clear on that. And then the last key thing is you want to be low altitude. So low altitude and low atmospheric pressure. Low atmospheric pressure being trying, if you can, to avoid places that are too windy or too stormy, too wet, that kind of thing. I know that's going to be impossible for most of us. I know it's impossible for me at the moment, but just something to bear in mind and just understanding how your environment can affect your arthritis. So thank you for listening. Please share if you found this helpful with others, and I will join you next time.